Welcome back, everyone. We're Simply Bitcoin. We break down the news from Twitter, the Daily Fail, meme review, software releases, hardware releases, and the websites by plebs. Joining us today, two fellow toxic Bitcoiners, the creators of Noddle. We've got Asku Watau and Keto Miner joining us. All right, we're going to the numbers. Let's do it.
Number time!
Number Time is brought to you by Bitcoin 2022. It's going to be the largest Bitcoin conference ever, hosted in sunny Miami Beach, Florida. And you can take advantage of the link down below for 10% off your ticket to Bitcoin 2022.
At the time of this recording, the block height is 714,573. The Bitcoin price, 46,745. Chain rewrite days, 757. Total public Lightning capacity, 3,287.86. Moscow time, 21:39, blocks to the halving, 125,427. Nico, I feel like the total public Lightning capacity was the same as yesterday. I feel like it didn't change.
It was Desiree's fault. We established this yesterday.
Oh, yeah, we did. We did establish this yesterday.
It was totally her responsibility. She jinxed it. Like, it's Dennis's responsibility for being below 58K. It's Desiree's responsibility for the Lightning Network capacity to go down. We have to call the Bitcoin CEO right now. Do it,
we
Phil.
Do.
Do it.
Well, you know what? Okay, so, but I do have some, we'll call it signal hopium.
But
slopium. We have sopium.
Before we get to the sopium, let's, because, you know, we're frozen in time right now in terms of the Kaka fiat price, right? Let's ask our guests what they think of the Kaka fiat price.
Oh, yeah.
So, Keto Miner, you're first up. What do you think about the Kaka fiat price?
One Bitcoin is still one Bitcoin.
I love this. Is how you know. This is how you know. Every day it's the same answers from every Bitcoiner we bring on the show. It's different iterations of the same. It's like it doesn't freaking matter. But Asku, what do you think about the Kaka fiat price?
Oh, you're muted.
I was just saying that it shows how old Keto is, because he obviously is not pricing stuff in sats. So yeah, he's an old dude.
Keto, you want to respond to that? No. Okay. All right, Phil. So what's the sopium? What do you have for us today?
So hold on. Before we get into the sopium, right? I have to make a correction from yesterday, or actually it was from a couple of days ago, right? One of our fellow viewers, right? This is what we love about Bitcoiners. They call us out when we are dead wrong and when we make mistakes. So this is great stuff. So in our Telegram group, right? Toxic Cat let me know, right, that I'm spreading misinformation about Bitcoin division on the show, and that we can't move the decimal place to make more Satoshis without inflating the supply. The 4.1 quadrillion Satoshis is the amount the protocol recognizes. The idea that of there being a decimal place to begin with is arbitrary for us dumb humans to better grasp the huge numbers. Grill any Bitcoin dev about the decimal place, and they will tell you it's not possible. So, yes, thank you very much for correcting me. So I got it wrong, because what I did was that I superimposed that we can already do transactions lower than one Satoshi on Lightning. So I made the mistake of superimposing that information onto the base layer, and fellow Bitcoiner corrected me. So I appreciate that, right? And we all learned together. It's fantastic. Sorry, Nico, what were you going to say before I dive into this?
No, I was just going to save your butt a little bit and say it's because you got confused because of Lightning, but you said it anyways.
Yeah, so. No, I did. I totally did. And then when he said it back to me, I'm like, oh, my God. I'm like, of course. Anyways, hey, look, it's good.
That's some good signal.
Why we
right
do this?
There. It's good. You know, now you know.
Learn something.
All right, so what's the sopium? What's the
all right, here we go.
Though?
Sopium. Now, don't get mad at me.
Why are you calling it sopium?
Because it's signal hopium, right?
Okay.
So it's, that's right. I just put it together. That's what happens when you're dyslexic and you can't flex. All right, here we go. Bitcoin traders ready to buy as Tether supply on exchanges hits 9 billion. Oh, Phil, don't talk to us about the Tether FUD. This is such garbage.
What
I know.
Is this? No, no. What is this?
Don't worry. They're sopium. Okay, here we go. This is the whole piece to the whole thing. Okay, this is all that matters. Okay. The ratio of Tether stablecoins on exchanges has risen to 22.5%, which is the highest level in over 6 months. This amount of supply converts to $8.99 billion, indicating a rise level of buying power accumulating on exchanges. I'm kidding with you. That's not what's important. Who cares?
Okay? Yeah, what the fuck? You know. We don't like to speculate on the show, even though we're speculating.
No. This is the key, though. This is the actual meat, okay?
Okay.
The miners' BTC outflow faces new low. Okay. As per data shared by Glassnode analytics firm, the amount of Bitcoin sent by the miners to the exchanges has dropped sharply. The miners to exchange flow index, 7-day moving average, has hit a 5-year low, totaling 2.655 BTC. So that is pretty cool. And I feel like some of these miners are hodling like the rest of us. They're looking at this and they're like, you know what? I'm hanging on to this. That's just my take, my opinion.
Phil, that was some very strong hopium. It was very strong hopium. Keto gave you a hint. One Bitcoin is one Bitcoin. And then you follow up with this garbage. What's wrong with you, bro?
I brought the meat, dude. The thing about the miners.
Yeah, no, that is good data. That is good data.
That was the whole point of it. The beginning of it was a joke.
But does it mean anything? That's the question. Does it mean anything?
Hey, look, again, right? We can, as we like to tell the viewers, they can read into it if they want. I think for me, that's a symbol of confidence or timing, or maybe a little bit of both.
Yeah, no, and just kind of add the hash rate into this a little bit, right? The hash rate is, you know, or it did a couple days ago, like a week ago, it touched an all-time high again, and they're selling less Bitcoin, right, according to the Glassnode stat. So, I mean, it's pretty good, I guess, but I don't know. Who knows? Anyways, Phil, it's time for
The Daily Fail. The Daily Fail is brought to you by Amber App. Check them out, amber.app. It's the easiest way to buy Bitcoin, the way to stack Bitcoin by actual Bitcoiners. Check out the link down below. I'm not going to let Nico get me down, making me think that I'm actually not talking to anyone. I know that Yellow is actually here, right next to me.
Amber, the smart way to stack sats.
All right, so we're going to go a little lighter today, but still we found something absolutely disgusting to report. 96 private keys stolen from Vulcan Forged. It's a good name. It's a good, strong name. Fortunately, they couldn't hang on to those private keys. $140 million theft. Not so good. Not so forged. Or maybe a little forged. Who knows? Anyways, let's do this. Vulcan Forged is a shitcoin gaming system which creates, and yes, I'm calling it a shitcoin gaming system because they made their own token after we spent the whole day yesterday talking to Christian and Desiree about how they're doing gaming on Bitcoin. Here we go. Vulcan Forged is a shitcoin gaming ecosystem which creates wallets on behalf of its users. So check that out. That's part of their use case. They create wallets on behalf of their users. An attacker accessed 96 of these wallets, stealing 23.7% of the project's circulating supply of shitcoins. So far, half the funds have been reimbursed from the project's treasury. Ah, good old centralization helps out again, huh? It's good. It's good that we got that. It's always good to have a treasury, huh? All right, here we go. Vulcan Forge offers a smorgasbord of shitcoin
access. Say it again. Say it again. Say that word again. Say that word again. Say that word.
Okay. Vulcan Forge offers a smorgasbord.
A smorgasbord.
Is it smorgasbord or smorgasbord?
I don't know. It's a fun word, though.
Again, I'm in New England, so we can't spell. We can't speak. I don't know. Anyways, okay. They offer a smorgasbord of shitcoin activities. That's right. It is primarily a game studio offering 6 different blockchain-based games. But it also has an NFT marketplace and its own decentralized exchange where users can trade it's shitcoin, PYR, that's right. Because you can't make something without having it be money, right? It's always important that it's money. When someone registers an account with Vulcan Forged, the platform creates a set of blockchain wallets for them on the, and here we go, Ethereum and Polygon, right? We seem to mention those a lot with the rug pulls. And VeChain, which we mentioned also with the rug pull. Anyways, rather than have the user manage their own private keys, the platform does so on their behalf. That's right. Can't make this up, right? But I, it's just like, yeah, that's what the platform does. This is part of their service, and they can't do that correctly. The 96 wallets that were affected contained 4.5 million PYR worth 140 million at the time of the attack. That's 9% of the project's total supply of shitcoin, according to CoinGecko, and 23.7% of the circulating supply. Other assets, including Ether and Polygon, may have also been taken. After the exploit was discovered, but before it was announced, this is good, Vulcan Forged told its community to remove funds from the liquidity pools on decentralized exchanges. This would make it harder for the attacker to cash out the funds without using centralized exchanges where they might need identity documents. Just, I really want you to pay attention to this, the piece that I just read to you, right? It seems the wallet owner of the hacker may have KYC'd on an exchange we're now in contact with. Okay, and that's Vulcan Forged that said this. Okay, so the attacker KYC'd. It added that it is removing what it described as a semi-custodial solution from the Vulcan Forged ecosystem, meaning that in the future, its users will need to look after their own private keys. So you had to get rug pulled. You had to get rug pulled in order to learn not to do this. And don't get me wrong, but these devs, they, you know, it's my opinion that they understood what they were doing. You know, like that's ridiculous. That is just, anyways, we're gonna move on. We're gonna take a look at this, okay?
I'm sorry, but the real thing here is that the attacker used the KYC wallet to withdraw the funds.
Oh no, the whole thing is a fail. It's just the whole thing. This is just a giant fail from them, quote unquote, offering the wallet custodial services, to the fact that the 96 keys were taken, to the fact that the attacker was KYC'd. I mean, it's, to me, the whole thing's a fail.
I mean, if you're stealing from shitcoins, do it right, at least. I don't know.
maybe it's a good idea to create your own private key. It's a radical idea. I know. It's super radical, crazy, but maybe people should do that.
But the trust, Nico, what about the trust?
Man.
What about the trust? Okay. So look, so I went to go dive into this company just a little bit. Vulcan Forged, you know, you could see right here. They've got, so interestingly enough, right, they're this tiny little gaming company and they have one investment. All right, which is this AAG Ventures. So they have this company that, as you could see here, democratizing play to earn. Creating economic freedom worldwide through the metaverse economy.
Yeah, that sounds fucking terrifying. That sounds terrifying. That doesn't sound good.
I just want to go back to the amazing Bitcoiner guests that we had yesterday that are building in gaming and they're building games using Bitcoin. Okay, they didn't have to go and create their own shitcoin. They in order to quote unquote harness a community and make it grow and all of this, they found an existing community of Bitcoiners and they built a product that they believe that they can capitalize on that is also going to offer value to its users. Why do these people insist on making these shitcoins? And why do they insist on having these stupid ecosystems that rug pull people?
To enrich themselves.
I mean, absolutely, to enrich themselves. But why do people keep falling for this? This is such nonsense.
Yeah, I mean, like,
they're all rhetorical questions, Nico. We know what the answers are.
You will never learn.
Keto's like, why are you asking this? Like, I'm not really asking.
So, I mean, no, apologize. Stop being Canadian, Phil. Don't
apologize.
I know,
I can't help it. It's
nothing to apologize for. Nothing to apologize. Have some maple syrup, Phil. Anyways, look, it's all part of the learning curve. You know, people were going to shitcoin in the beginning. I think that's just, you know, we've been doing this for a minute now, Phil. And it's just, you know, most people, they start shitcoining, they get wrecked, and then they, you know, they kind of learn their lesson and then they find Bitcoin, or most people do. And then some people are like, if I make up my own shitcoin, then I can get more Bitcoin. Some people come to that realization. And I think that these people are just like, okay, you know, we're going to pretend that it got hacked, even though we're the ones that create the private keys. and we're going to send it to a KYC exchange. And, you know, and we're going to say that we're in communication with the exchange to the people whose money got hacked, even though they don't own their own private keys, could think that, I don't know. Dude, the whole thing is just really sketchy. And the valuations, bro, that's insane. I saw that company is a $50 to $70 million valuation. For what? Mm-hmm. I've never even heard of that company. And it has Metaverse in the name. That's fucking scary. I feel like Zuckerberg just comes out like, hey, guys, what's up? You know?
You can mint a token for dollars. For dollars, you can mint a token. And you can, you know, determine all the supply and all of its metrics. Like, we've shown this time and time again. Like, this is the dumbest shit ever. Imagine valuing a company. Like, Nico, you're absolutely right.
Yeah, it's freaking stupid. But anyways, I'm going to pass it on to Asku. Asku, what do you think of this giant clusterfuck?
I think the token name Pia in French means worse. I don't think you can make any worse.
It's actually worse.
No, the other thing is maybe, you know, they say they stole from, I don't know, 23% of the supply. Maybe that's just the users, basically the generated wallets from the users. Because all the other, it's the devs that actually were able to secure their own funds. All right, you know?
Yeah.
It's always the same people who get fleeced. Mm-hmm. And it's the users.
Yep, mm-hmm. Always.
Devs always get away with it.
Absolutely. I mean, that's what shitcoins are. It's like a redistribution of wealth. It's stealing your Bitcoin for shitcoin. You get stuck holding the shitcoin, you know, and then the devs run out with the Bitcoin. I think even Vitalik, when he was pitching the idea of the ICO, he was like, yeah, if we sell it for this much more, we can get our Bitcoin back. You know, he had like a little Freudian slip there. It's like, why do you want Bitcoin back if your shit is apparently better? Anyways, Keto.
Race to the bottom.
Yeah, there you go. What are your thoughts on this, Keto?
Well, as I said, I'm okay with people stealing from shitcoins, but just do it right. Don't send it to a KYC exchange afterwards. and also that word no one could read, it sounds like an IKEA chair.
Yeah.
It does.
Oh, dude. Wow. It does, dude.
That's awesome. We're getting wisdom. That is awesome.
Yeah, man. No, but the question that I have for all of you guys is, shitcoiners have, look, you have to give them credit where credit is due. Shitcoiners come up with phenomenal names, okay? Vulcan Forge is a good name, right? But I have a question for you guys. Is the IKEA or shitcoin names better? I'm going to go with IKEA. What about you, Phil?
Smorgasbord.
Smorgasbord? Mm-hmm.
Smorgasbord.
Yeah.
Smorgasbord.
I kind of like the shitcoin names sometimes.
Oh, we're tied. 2-2.
The tiebreaker.
Oh, we're tied. Okay. Okay. Anyways, let us. Yeah, I know, right?
Yellow could be the tiebreaker.
Let us know down in the comments, guys. What do you think? IKEA names are better or shitcoin names are better? Let's see. Anyways, Phil, it's time for the Daily Meme Reviews. The Daily Meme Review is brought to you by Citadel 21. It's the best Bitcoin cultural zine. It's stories, articles, comics by plebs, by toxic Bitcoin plebs, and it's scarce. There's only 1,000 copies made per volume. Anyways, get your copy of Citadel 21 today. All right, everybody, the meme for today. First one is brought to us by @BlackFlagMarine. It's time 2.0. You were made for this. Holder, stacker, shitcoiners, E2.0, rug pull, awesome meme. Moving on to the next one. Brought to us by legendary memer, Plan_Marcus. Bitcoin has no leaders. Proof of work. Proof of stake. Really good meme. Moving on to the next one. It's by Satoshi Nakamario. Satoshi @Satoshi. Satoshio Hodl. Hey, what's up, Jared? Of course, I still have my dog. He's right here. Oh, Doge. Haha. No, never buy Bitcoin or have fun staying poor. Huh? I'm confused. I don't get it. Next one. Brought to us by the Bitcoinator. People don't know their true power, and Bitcoin is the tool of freedom. I really like this one. This one's a lot deeper, right? It's politicians, it's the euro, it's scam, fiat standard, normies, orange pilled. I love that, man. And freedom, you know, like thinking that you're going to be able to change the system through running. It's really, really deep. I really like that. Anyways, last one's brought to us by Corn DeLorean. When 1 minute dollar cost average. @InStrike, and this is Strike. They added, I think it's like you could stack every 30 minutes or so. sending my paperwork when the IRS audits me after 20 years of stacking hourly DCA. That's my favorite one. Awesome, awesome memes. Phil, why don't you give it a score first while I search for my score?
Damn you. Yeah, that last one, all that made me think of is, you know, FKYC and AML. Anyways, I am giving it this very rare and also, I think, appropriate, all of these memes. I'm giving it this little mini Santa Claus. It's a little miniature Santa Claus that comes on the cakes. That's right.
Why do you have that, Phil?
Don't ask these questions, Nico. Ask these questions.
Have some maple syrup. Anyways, for those memes, Phil, I'm going to give it... No one uses this. An F8 key. See it? If you know what that's used for... Oh, it focused. If you know what that's used for, please let us know down in the comments. Anyways, Keto, what would you give those memes?
I'm giving them a bunch of cable Velcro ties, which I'm using in the data center.
Nice.
Excellent scores.
He likes doing cable management. Yeah. I respect that. I respect cable management. There's nothing worse than the spider pits. You walk into these places, you're like, how do you work?
It's true. Oh my God. You just gave me a nightmare thinking about that. Anyways, Askew, what would you give those memes?
I'll give them a puck.
Oh. Phil, you have a fellow...
Just happens to be here.
Canada? Phil? What do you think?
I don't know. We don't. There's no connection. There's no. It doesn't just happen where you could just tell, unless he apologizes to me first. If he apologizes, then I know that he might be. It depends. Is it sorry or sorry? So if it's sorry,
I'm about
then I know.
To.
Huh?
I'm about to.
Oh! Wow. Okay. So the stereotype, that is really.
Let us
funny.
Know.
Anyways, guys,
said
we
about correctly.
Guys, we say some things that rub with the wrong shoulder. So subscribe to us on the alternative video platforms on Rumble.com and our personal favorite BitcoinTV.com. They don't believe in censorship there. Obviously not, because it's BitcoinTV.com. And of course, join our Telegram group. Link us some Bitcoin memes to review. Because a Bitcoin meme review, and we need Bitcoin memes to review. But anyways, Phil, it's time for the Daily News. The Daily News is brought to you by CryptoCloaks.com. They make the best 3D printed merch, like the 3D printed Bitcoin Freedom Grenade. It opens up, you put your favorite open dimes in there. And the 3D printed Bitcoin Honey Badger. You put your cold card in there, really cool stuff. Anyways, take advantage of the link down below for 5% off anything on the store, CryptoCloaks.com.
You know, the original open dime was square and then they rounded the edges because people used to put them in places.
The more you know.
I'm not going to do a countdown. I'm going to keep that in the video. Now you know. You learn stuff every day. Anyways, guys, check this out. First of all, before we get into this, I want to give everyone context because if you don't know, you're about to know and you're about to learn from the best people to describe what this is, right? So I'm going to pass it to you guys. First of all, what is a Bitcoin node? And why should people run one?
Yes.
That's pretty much all there is to it, though.
Hey, Bitcoin is run a node.
Run a node. Okay. But what is a node, Keto?
So the common definition of a Bitcoin full node is a node that runs Bitcoin. Pretty obvious, meaning you run the implementation of Bitcoin you want to, and you verify the transactions according to the consensus rule that you want to verify them against. So if you're running Bitcoin Core, you're verifying it against Bitcoin Core consensus rules. If you're running BTCD, you verify whatever BTCD does. You can run Bitcoin nodes, you can run libbitcoin, you can run like many different implementations. And if you're running something else like Bitcoin ABC or Bitcoin XT or Bitcoin Cash or BSV, you're verifying the transactions against those rules and you're not doing Bitcoin. So yeah, basically that's what defines the fact of running a Bitcoin node and running a particular implementation defines Bitcoin for what it means for you.
Absolutely. So it's, you're verifying your own transactions, right? You're not trusting, because, you know, keep in mind, guys, if you don't run your own node, you're trusting somebody else's, right? And trust is, it's not a good thing. As we just saw with the fail. So yeah, so I'm going to move on to, you know, we brought our guest, right? They created the Noddle, which is one of the most famous Bitcoin nodes in Bitcoin. Anyways,
yeah, Matt Odell always raves about it.
This is the Noddle 1. Check it out. Really cool design. Is this made of metal, guys?
Yep.
Awesome. We only do metal.
Good. Okay.
Nice.
I like to hear that. It has Bitcoin Core running Bitcoin just like in legendary Hal Finney's tweet. I love that. Lightning Network, easy to use, privacy focus, right? It includes Plug, Power, Bitcoin, RockPi 4 board. Let me ask you guys something. Why are you guys using a RockPi 4 board and not a Raspberry Pi?
Because the Raspberry Pi is not open source. Many people don't know that, but actually the firmware of the Raspberry Pi is owned by Microsoft.
Wow. I did not know that.
Did not know that.
So everybody running a wow, okay.
Yeah, if you're running your Bitcoin node over a Raspberry Pi, you're actually running inside of a Microsoft-owned hypervisor.
Very interesting.
That's
like your own metaverse.
Oh, that's scary.
Oh no, he just brought the metaverse into this.
Yeah, this is scary. I'm gonna have to.
To be honest, it's probably not a big deal because it's so low level that it doesn't have any network access whatsoever. But still, it's
still.
I mean, the firmware is not open. The chip is not open. We are using a ROG chip-based board now, and ROG chip has always committed to open source all they do.
Awesome. Yeah, I've always wondered what the difference is between the two of them. And
I just thought it was a power thing. I just thought the ROG Pi 4 was more powerful, but this is really, you know what? You just really inspired me to run one of these instead.
It actually used to be when we started, because the first board we used for the Noddle OG, which we don't make anymore, had 4 gigs of RAM, when at the time the Raspberry Pi only had 2 gigs of RAM.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have a device that had 4 gigs of RAM, and Keto thought that that would be underpowered. So we went to another board, and we just stuck with different boards, basically, than Raspberries.
Yeah, I was basically looking for the most powerful board I could buy in the Raspberry Pi form factor.
Gotcha. Interesting. Yeah. Okay, so let's talk about... Phil, go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead. Sorry.
So let's talk about the full disk encryption. So why do you guys do that?
We decided to add the full disk encryption when we started doing whirlpool mixing on the device, because if you run a mixer, the mixer has to sign the transactions, which means it contains the private keys. And we didn't want to have private keys unencrypted on the drive of a device someone could steal and run away with your private keys.
Gotcha. Okay. Interesting.
When you first start your, and every time you power on your node, you get prompted to enter the encryption password. Only you know that password, and it's stored. It's not stored anywhere on the device.
And I'm assuming that you set it up when you install the device.
So we generate, because we have to ship it with some password inside, so we generate passwords when we ship the device. They are unique to each device. You get a piece of paper included in the box. Do not lose that, because if you lose it, you don't have your passwords anymore. And then the users are free to change the password if they want to.
Gotcha. Okay, cool. Okay, so the physical kill switch, why do you guys have that?
So that's related to the full disk encryption, actually, because if there are some attacks, there are some very high profile attacks. So they are probably very theoretical, because I'm hoping that people who run who have some massive amount of Bitcoin run some more bigger device than the Noddle. It's always possible to dump the memory of a device if you get it while it's running, and you manage to freeze the memory to a low temperature enough so you can reread it afterwards in another device. That applies mostly to servers where you can remove physically the memory from the server. It's not possible on small boards like the Raspberry Pi or the ROG Pi 4 because the memory is soldered. So you would have to freeze it while unsoldering it. It's not a very practical attack. But anyways, we decided to include the skill switch. It's actually an NVK's idea. We talked about it at BH a few years ago. And yeah, we have this skill switch that cuts the power if anyone tries to open the case. The case can also be attached to a Kensington lock cable. So you have to go through many steps if you want to open the case, have the device still running, and try to extract the keys while they are in the memory.
Awesome. Wow. Really, I'm glad I asked you that question. Because you just read it on the surface and you're like, okay, you know, what's a kill switch? Okay, but there's obviously a lot of thought put into it. And let's check out some of the hardware node features, common features across our hardware. Bitcoin Core, obviously, Lightning LND, BTC Pay Server, Samurai Dojo, Samurai Whirlpool, Lightning Loop, Ride the Lightning, full Tor support. Okay. So I'm assuming most of the updates and stuff like that is through Tor?
So no, the updates are actually pulled from our private Git server, but that will be moved to Torrent in the near future.
So let me ask you guys this, right? For this node, do you guys, like, let's say, because as you know, right, all the different pieces of software, they don't all update at the same time, right? Like, they don't all release updates at the same time. Like, how do you guys handle this from the user perspective? Like, is it like a one-click update, or is it each the person updates each piece manually when the update is available? How does that work?
That's precisely a big difference with our competition, because initially we wanted to let users upgrade each piece independently when they want to. We still had to push the full Nodder UI update that provided this button to get a particular version of each service. But then we figured oh shit, when we upgrade LND, it actually breaks Zap. And when we upgrade Bitcoin Core, it breaks BTC Pay Server. So we moved to a monolithic update. And now you have to wait until we validate that this version of LND works with this version of Bitcoin Core, with this version of RTL, and this version of BTC Pay. And you upgrade all the pieces at the same time when we release the full upgrade.
Nice.
Really cool stuff. So one last thing. It says they're built by hand. So who builds them? You or Asku?
My wife.
Ah, that's a good wife. Cool. That's a good wife.
If you check the Nodder YouTube channel, you will see a glimpse into the Nodder factory.
Cool.
Just to be clear on stuff, you know.
There's a video of her building a Nodder dojo on our YouTube channel.
Cool.
So I'm confused. Is he your wife or is he not your wife?
No.
I'm just kidding. It's a joke. Anyways, moving on to the next one. Really cool stuff. This is my personal favorite.
Apologize.
I'm sorry. I'm going to pull a Canadian. Here's some maple syrup. Okay. Anyways. here's the Noddle Dojo. Now, I've been eyeing this thing for a very long time.
Read this faster.
So I highlighted that, obviously. It's a faster, guys, because obviously it's red. Oh, look. I'm gonna switch screens, make a gallery view. Woo! Could you knock on it because it's metal? ASMR.
No, he's muted. Oh,
there we go.
Okay, sorry.
There we go.
All right, go.
Okay. Hear that? You hear nice. That? That's a solid node, bro. That's metal right there. Okay, cool stuff.
I like
metal
that.
On metal.
Metal on metal. See?
Guitar bridge.
That is some Bitcoin ASMR brought to you by Asku. Probably gonna be a fan favorite. Anyways, back to the Noddle Dojo. All right, so Noddle is Samurai Wallet's hardware partner of choice. So let me ask you guys something. When you say it's faster, how much faster? And could you get a little bit into, if someone wanted to mix their coins on the Noddle Dojo, how is that done? Is it through the UI of the node? How does that work?
Initially you have to install Whirlpool GUI, which is the desktop client of Whirlpool on your computer. Then you connect it to your Noddle Dojo, and then you copy the pairing string from your Samurai Wallet phone app to the client to pair it. And after that, you can just shut down the desktop client. But we are working on adding the pairing directly in the Nodo UI, so you would not ever have to use the Whirlpool GUI.
Nice.
Really, really cool stuff. Really cool. I like the red. So next thing I want to talk about that's listed on your guys' site, and I have some questions about this, and I'm going to approach it kind of from the Bitcoiner's perspective. Nodal Cloud. I'm looking at this. I'm like, why would I use a cloud? So like, who is this for? Right. Like, why would someone want to use, why would someone trust the cloud, especially in Bitcoin?
Well, other than the trust issue itself, not all Bitcoiners have a physical place they can connect the node 24/7. So we have many users actually that just use Nodal Cloud because they don't have a physical place where they could put another box. And they still want to use our UI and our services. So that's one profile of users. And the second one is, if you're a web merchant, it makes little sense to self-host your payment processor at home or in your office because you are doxing your IP address and all with that, which that means. If you want to expose your BTC Pay server on the internet, and not all your clients will have Tor and will be able to pay you through Tor. So, yeah, if you're just running a web-based business, it's probably better to use a cloud-hosted BTC Pay server than a physical one behind a private IP address.
Okay, awesome. So it's more so for merchants and then for people that are, you know, because of their physical location or because of their...
Yeah, like digital nomads. We have like guys which are spending like 2 weeks in different countries and then move away and they just can't have a permanent connection.
So would you guys say that you're like the Proton Mail of nodes?
We could say that we're actually co-located in the same data center in Switzerland. So,
oh. Hey, there you go. It's a good analogy. Nico's spot on. Okay, so last one that I...
There's another thing too. It's like... Everybody asks why they should run a node, but that's probably not the right question. Is like, how many nodes should you run? Because eventually, no, that's how many nodes do you run?
Me? Like five, yeah. Six, seven, maybe?
Exactly. Okay. They all need to be the same. Do they all have the same purpose? Not necessarily. And eventually, sometimes when I'm traveling, I feel more confident that someone can switch it on or off in a data center for me as a service. Whereas I can't necessarily call my parents for like a backup node in the middle of the night when I'm in a different time zone, whatever. But I don't attach the same processes to the same nodes, the same identities to the same nodes. And eventually in 10, 20 years, everybody's going to have like multiple nodes for a bunch of stuff. It makes sense to have like some good infrastructure for that.
Your Lightning pub key is your identity. So if you want to have more than one identity, you have to have more than one Lightning node.
So I know that we're going to get this question in the comments, right? Or you're just going to have that one toxic plea. How do you handle user data? How do you handle IP address and stuff?
We don't. It's a private server you're renting from us. What becomes of the logs is your problem.
Okay.
If you want to erase the logs every day, every hour, every minute, or just not log anything, you can do that.
And then people could pay you in Bitcoin for this?
Only Bitcoin.
What a good answer. That's a
same
answer.
Thing for the nodes. Buy a node on the website. Only Bitcoin.
Awesome. Yeah. Okay. Cool. Really good answers, guys.
Yeah,
we
take the Bitcoin only very seriously. For us, Bitcoin only means no fiat.
Yeah. I mean, that's the way it should be. Get on zero. Absolutely. All right. The last thing, last but not least, I know most people are not going to care about this, but I know at least two people or maybe three, maybe four, maybe five are going to care. It's the Nodal rack. And look, check this out. There is a picture of one of the racks that you guys built. Really badass. Nodal builds custom infrastructure to fit your exact needs. Rack-based models of all sizes and fits can be deployed in your own data centers and hosted by our industry-leading partners across different geographic locations. All I got to say about this is I feel bad for Keto's wife. That sounds like a lot of work.
Not easy to build cases like that.
So I'm assuming this is all custom. You have a company or you have whatever that contacts you guys, pays you in Bitcoin, and you guys build server Bitcoin Lightning things.
Yeah, it's
for
basically
them?
I mean, we have like the low end custom made rack server with two nodes inside, but mostly it's partnerships with Dell, HP, and bespoke server manufacturers. But yeah, if you are Walmart and you want to accept Bitcoin payments in a data center grade setup, we are ready for you.
Awesome. There you go. You hear that, Walmart people?
That's pretty awesome. So I'm sorry, you put, is it, it's two rock pies in one of those?
No. It's Intel-based, I mean, x86-based servers.
Oh, okay, so
actually,
okay.
We actually switched recently to AMD EPYC because they provide full memory encryption on the servers. So even in the case someone would manage to freeze the memory and extract the data in it, they won't have the keys to read the data.
Oh, wow.
Really interesting, guys. You guys are pleasant surprises. This is what happens every time you have hardcore Bitcoiners on, right? Yeah. Everyone's building really cool stuff. Okay, last but not least, and ask you, if you've been paying attention, he's on the beach right now, and there's a giant box with an antenna in the back. What is that? I think I have an idea. Bitcoin node maker Noddle launches Lightning-only product. Really cool stuff. Askew's been hinting to it the entire time. Anyways, I'm assuming one of you guys said this. One of you guys wrote this. Oh, I found the picture. Woo! All right, really.
I stole it from Bitcoin Magazine.
So merchants using Noddle Lite will have full power over a dedicated Lightning node while benefiting from shared Bitcoin Core and payment processing resources hosted by Noddle in their cloud infrastructure. This hybrid setup is a novel modular approach that highlights efforts made to bring Bitcoin to a wider public while maintaining a strong focus on security. The product's development was prompted by the approval of Bitcoin as legal tender in El Salvador in September, Noddle said. The company sought to create an effortless way for merchants in the Central American country to accept Bitcoin in exchange for their goods and services in a sovereign way. Really, really cool stuff, guys. So you want to give us a little bit of inside baseball, more things on what you guys are developing? And if I read that article right, it's not out yet, correct?
Exactly.
Yeah, it's not out. And the idea is like the Noddle Cloud is cool, but if you're processing payments on chain, it goes straight to your hardware wallet. No problem on this side. But if you're running LND in the cloud, this LND runs in the cloud. And if any services on the server are compromised, someone could potentially access your funds on the LND side. And we also expect the regulators to qualify that at some point as custody. So we wanted to make a small device running only LND that plugs back into your Noddle cloud or into a shared BTC Pay server or into a big Noddle box. Like you have a group of merchants in a city that have one big Noddle Dojo and then small Noddle Lights. And they all run their own LND in their office or in their shop on this small box, which VPNs back into one central BTC Pay server.
Awesome. So I think you dropped a lot of signal there. You hinted to it. So you're anticipating regulators' moves. What, obviously, you know things that we don't. What are you hearing? What are the whispers? What are the rumors?
I sincerely don't know, and I haven't heard anything about that. But if I were a regulator, I would try to prove that anybody hosting a Lightning node is a custodian of that node.
Oh, okay. Okay, I understand. So I see what you're doing. Okay, so this is a preemptive measure, kind of bracing for, you know, but I think what Askew has said really, really interesting things. It's short and sweet, but it's a lot of signal, right? When we asked, why should you run? He just said, yes. That's the answer. That's what we tell you. Unfortunately, I can't tell you this because no one would watch the show if I just said one word answers. And then the other thing he said is, the Bitcoiners, it's if we were waiting for the regulators, they would tell you to go vote and do stuff like that, you know. So I think that's a good answer, right? It's just build something that's decentralized that can't be regulated, I think is the way forward. But Phil,
Yeah, I mean, you need some physical devices, you need to own infrastructure yourself, or actually have providers that can do it reliably for you with different sources so that you can move, so that your money can move, so your data can move, whether you're there or not doesn't really matter, so that your footprint makes it difficult to get you. You know, it's like mobility, you know, you need the devices, you need the mobile devices, but you also need some kind of infrastructure you can ping back to in different locations. Eventually, that's what we want to do.
Absolutely.
You know, be everywhere so that you don't know where we are in a way.
Yeah, and even with the hosted services, we can imagine putting your main Bitcoin node in one place and this small guy in another data center in another place. So you are in two different jurisdictions, and if need be, we could potentially move you from one jurisdiction to another just by moving your devices or just moving the data off your devices.
Sitting on the F8 key.
On the
F8 is Bitcoin panic mode, I guess.
Oh, exactly.
But Phil,
I do have a question about that, about the this new Lightning node. So it doesn't. What board, if you don't mind me asking, what board are you guys using in that thing? Because it doesn't
still
look
the same. Yeah, it's still the same company, Ratcha, which makes the RockPi 4. It's okay. A RockPi S. So it's a quad core 64-bit chip with 512 megs of RAM.
That is
it's
very
a tiny
cool.
RAM with all the challenges that it that come with it. But yeah, it's a cool ball because it's not underpowered at all. Like the CPU is has massive performance, but the RAM is so small.
So, man, this is incredibly bullish, and I'm gonna kind of zoom in and tie this in with the macro and what we've been covering these many months, guys. Like, tie this technology that these guys are talking about with geographically separated multi-sig, right? And it's like, man, the balance of power from the individual to the state, it's just shifting. You see the shift, man, and it's just like, yeah, maybe they can get 5, 10, 100, 1,000 people. But imagine everyone doing this. Then it's like, it's inconceivable. It's just too many people. It's too many things. You know, crossing a border, what are they going to do? What's your 12-word seed phrase? You know, it's like, what are they going to do? Right? So, again, it just goes to show, right, clearly, you know, we're seeing a shift, right? And, again, I really recommend this book because absolutely phenomenal. This guy predicted this back in the 90s, The Sovereign Individual, talking about what we're living through right now. And it's just incredible to see it actually happening, seeing the technology and just connecting the dots, you know, multi-sig, Lightning, you know, nodes in different jurisdictions, tiny little boxes. How do you stop that signal? You don't, right, Phil?
Exactly.
I'm just thinking about that board and the Lightning. I'm just like, I'm totally sucked in. I'm like, that's awesome. Because I love microcontrollers. And then I started thinking, I'm like, people, you know, it's interesting, right? Like, you know, people's computers, their home computers got beefier and beefier, right? But then at the same time, we have this kind of revolution of this kind of low voltage, you know, this low voltage kind of like inexpensive hardware that is like beefy, you know, beefy as fuck. Sorry, you know, I know we're trying not to swear as much, but like, this is crazy. It's crazy that these electronics are getting smaller and smaller and they're able to do more and more. But in terms of like a basic user experience, the retail user, right? This becomes something that the average person with some tech knowledge can use. So I'm just totally impressed listening to you guys. Anyways.
Yeah, I remember back in the days when you got like 1K of program memory on a microcontroller, it was like a lot. And now, okay, let's throw an ARM core inside of that shit.
Yes! It's nuts. These tiny little boards that do so much and they accept so much code. I was already impressed with like the, what's it called? The ESP32 boards and stuff like that. You know, I mean, these are tiny little boards, you know, the Pi Zero. And then there's the one that, this thing. The M5 stack, I totally
forget. M5 stack, yeah, totally.
I mean, these things are like, and then they have the M5 paper, right? That has like the e-paper screen. I mean, all of this stuff is so crazy. So when I see you guys building something like this tiny little awesome Lightning node, I mean, that's to me like that just totally flips the script. You know, like that. This is one of those things that totally flips the script, especially like something like that talking back to a cloud service. Like all of a sudden, like this is the type of stuff that I think is needed in, you know, in the retail space and whatnot to really help bring Lightning to the people. Because anybody who's ever dealt with traditional payment terminals and stuff like that, like, you know, it's a giant banking red tape circle jerk. Okay, like just to have your money. And what people don't know about these things is quite often the integration with your own software, okay, the credit card information is in plain text. I didn't just say that, but sometimes that happens.
That's absolutely crazy. So, yeah, guys, this is essentially the technology behind the freedom revolution that we're all experiencing, and really, really, really cool stuff to live through this. But anyways, Phil, there was an open source software release today. Why don't you tell everybody about it?
Software releases. The software releases are brought to you by CypherSafe. Check them out. CypherSafe.io. Store your seed in the Cypher wheel. And I know Nico's getting the Cypher grid. This thing is tamper-proof, pet-proof. As I always tell you, it's Phil-proof. Soon it's going to be Nico-proof. The link is down below. We've got Hexa Wallet version 2.0.5 that was released. It's down below in the show notes. But before we go, don't forget we post Monday to Saturday, rain or shine. And we are audio only, right? Don't forget. So if you want to listen to us in the car, we are on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Anchor. Check us out.
Awesome. Thank you, Phil. All right, guys, that was our show. Before we go, I want to give a very special shout out to our awesome guest. You can go follow Keto Miner on Twitter, and you can go follow Askewu. But anyways, really cool stuff. And obviously, check out Noddle.it. Get yourself a Noddle 1. No, don't get yourself a Noddle 1. Get yourself a Noddle Dojo, because it's faster and it's red. But anyways, guys, that was our show. If you enjoyed the show, you know what to do. Smash that like button. And of course, if you want to continue hearing the catastrophic fails from the centralized shitcoiners and the Bitcoin news from the pleb perspective, definitely consider subscribing. And we'll see you tomorrow, guys, for a brand new episode of Simply Bitcoin.
It's time to own our sovereignty. Bitcoin's here.
Booyakasha! We'll be right back.